The Lord may be pleased to help us this evening. I'd ask you to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I remember in my early days, a minister saying that God works at both ends. And by that he meant that he prepares the sinner for salvation. And on the other hand, he prepares the means whereby they may be brought to salvation. As I mentioned to you recently, the Lord does not need anyone to help him in the work of salvation. But the Lord has been pleased to use means, and especially the preaching of the gospel. And he sends his servants at the appointed time with the appointed message that the Holy Spirit uses to bring the sinner to himself. Now, Paul had been preaching the gospel in various parts, and we read earlier in this chapter that now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That doesn't mean to say that the word of God would not at some point be preached in Asia. But the Lord has an overruling providence that he would have his servant go where he intended him to be. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, doubtless, the apostle and his companions were not given the reason why, but they were obedient to the word of God. And it is a great blessing when we can submit to God's direction. We do not always understand God's ways. As it is said, they are past finding out. But the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And what a precious end this was to be. And then they come to Troas, and Paul receives a vision in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, faithful servant, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord has his people, and the Lord sends his servant to preach the gospel to them. The Lord rules and overrules in all things for the good of his church and for the blessing of his people. Therefore, he makes this journey, no small journey. He comes to Samothracia, and then the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, being the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And perhaps Paul had it in his mind that there would be a synagogue there to which he would preach to the people. But they were there for several days, and it seems as though the apostle has no direction. But the Lord never is before his time, and he never is too late. There is an appointed time for all things, and the Lord, I say, is in control. And on the Sabbath day, they come out of the city, and no doubt they were directed of the Spirit to do this, not to attend into any meeting within the city, but to come out to a riverside. And we read there where prayer was wont to be made, where prayer was wont to be made. Here is a little remnant of men and women gathered together for prayer. And the Lord owns and blesses those that come before him, desiring help and blessing from him. And then he sits down, or they sit down, and they speak unto the women which resorted thither. And it seems that while Paul was speaking to these women, one of them, named Lydia, and we're told that she is a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was a long way from Philippi. And perhaps she was a widow, because it was unusual for women to be workers in those days. But whatever the case, this woman had united herself to these God-fearing people, to those that prayed. She had a heart, a desire for the things of God. How much she understood, we're not told. But she was a worshipper of God. And that sets her apart from the vast majority in the world, both then and now. There were many that had a form of religion, and yet it seemed to be but tradition at best. But here her desires are toward God. But as yet, she doesn't know this God personally for herself. But the appointed time had come when she should. And we read here that she heard the apostle and his company speaking. She began to listen to what they were saying. You know, some of you may have come to a chapel or a church over the years, and yet, what has it meant to you? Perhaps we can all look back to a time when these things weren't of the greatest importance to us. And yet she worshipped God. She desired to know him. And here she hears one speaking about God. And doubtless the apostle preached Christ and him crucified, because this was the great theme that the apostle brought before the people: a crucified Jesus, a savior of sinners, one who is able to save poor, wretched, lost, how deserving souls. And no doubt he quoted from the Old Testament scriptures, speaking of those instances where the Messiah was set before them. And she gave attention unto these things. Now, has there come a time with us when we have given attention to what the Lord's servants have brought before us concerning the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we know our two dear sisters here tonight have come to that point, came to that point where they desired to hear these things, when they gave serious attention to the words of the preacher, that they might glean something for themselves, that they might be blessed with a crumb from the Master's table, that they might have a token for their never dying souls, knowing themselves and what they are by birth and by nature. There came a time in God's wonderful mercy, in that great plan of salvation, and when the Lord made his purposes known unto them, for he opened their hearts. And we read here, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She attended unto them with all seriousness and gravity. She desired to hear something for herself. And no doubt the apostle pointed out that by birth and by nature, we are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. In sin did our parents conceive us. We are part of the Adam fall. There's not one but can boast that they are righteous in and of themselves, because our righteousnesses are before God as filthy rags. And so I'm sure that the apostle is a faithful minister of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would point out man's awful condition, his how deserving condition, his lost condition, and that he would show that sinners are in a wretched place. But having pointed out that they are sinners, he turns them from themselves unto another. He preaches Christ as the one thing needful, as the only hope of heaven at last. And Lydia attended unto these things, which I believe means that she had some longing in her soul that these words might be applied unto her. And doubtless from her heart went up a prayer unto God: Lord, bless these words to me. Grant that they may be a portion for me. Do not pass me by. You know, our hearts by nature are as hard as stone. What can break through? Man thinks that he can save himself. Man thinks that he can change his own heart. Well, man may think these things, but all his thinking will bring him no nearer unto God than he was before, and more than likely further away than he was before. Because pride enters in. If man could add one iota to God's work, then he has done something toward his own eternal purpose. But by doing that, or thinking that he can do that, he is taking away from the Saviour who came to save. He didn't come to propose salvation. He didn't come to aid salvation. He came to bring salvation. And he came to bring salvation unto a particular people. He came to bring salvation unto sinners, but those who were to be made sensible of their sins. Those who knew something of their wretched, lost condition. Those that have been humbled in the dust. Those who have been emptied of all creature righteousness. Those that had come to the end of themselves and had to pray, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." Such are those whom the Lord brings to himself. So are our hearts made tender in the fear of God. And what is the evidence of that tenderness? A desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says to his disciples, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, keep my commandments. And the apostles were first sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And when she was baptized, Paul had doubtless then preached baptism to her. Here is a regenerated soul. Here is one wrought upon by the Spirit of the living God. Here is one that has been brought into gospel liberty. And she knows in that softened heart of hers that she wants Christ above and beyond all other things. She's willing, she's been made willing to forsake all that she might follow him. And when she was baptized, now I want to emphasize, because these things are being denied in so many places today, I want to emphasize that baptism, the word baptism comes from the word baptizo, and the learned J.C. Philpott speaks of baptism as being plunging, dipping, immersing in water. Not sprinkling, but believers' baptism. Believers following the Lord Jesus Christ in the very example that he gave. I read to you this evening from the sixth chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, and verses 3 and 4 read, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We have it also in the Epistle to the Colossians, the second chapter, and I believe it's the 12th verse, which speaks the same. My mind went to the last verses, the last lines rather, of hymn 428, where the hymn writer says, "View the right with understanding. Jesus' grave before you lies. Be interred at his commanding, after his example rise." We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We believe that baptism is for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. Those that have been wrought upon by the Spirit of the living God, and those that are made willing in the day of his power, I say, to forsake all that they might follow him. We see it then with Lydia. Immediately that she was baptized, she wanted to honor these servants of the living God. And when she was baptized and her household, and let us make no mistake there, her household perhaps would have been servants, or would have been helpers in her business. We have no mention of anyone being baptized except first they come to know the Lord. And although the word of God of necessity passes over certain things, yet we can be assured that Paul preached the gospel unto this household. And here was one that gave an example. She was able to tell her loved ones of what the Lord had done for her never-dying souls, and how these servants of God had come and shown her the real way of salvation, to take her away from all her myths and all her unbelief and all her traditionalism, that she might know the truth, that truth that made her free, and she became free indeed. And how that desire welled up within her breast, that she wanted to put on, by an open profession of faith, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we are here to attend to this evening, to put on an open profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad in one respect that we are limited to how many people we can have here because of the government restrictions, but nevertheless there are sufficient witnesses to witness this scene. But is that the end? No, rather, it is the beginning. Having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to follow him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Newness of life in our walk and conversation, in our spiritual desires, in our faithfulness in the closet and in the home, in offering up our petitions unto the Most High God, recognizing that we come before our friend, a friend of publicans and sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, who receives our prayers and offers them in, as our great high priest, offering that great sacrifice for sin, his own body and his own precious shed blood, that we might be freed from sin, that our sins might be washed away, that the Lord should look upon them no more again forever, and that we should live, I say, in newness of life, in obedience to the word of God. I remember the pastor who baptized me saying that whilst you've been tending the house of God, the world has had its eye upon you. But now you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, be sure of this, that the world will have two eyes upon you. And how we need to heed our ways, lest we bring shame upon our profession, unless we bring shame upon our church, but more importantly, unless we bring shame upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk in tenderness, in the fear of the Lord. We are to be an example unto others, to show how Christians ought to live. We are to be faithful to God's word. We are to be faithful to the church which receives us in. We are to be faithful wherever we go, with whomsoever we meet, that we speak well of our Lord and Master. What a great mercy, what a great blessing, what a great privilege to be called by grace divine to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the ordinances that he brought in for the church. Many look down upon the church today. It's not necessary to go to church. We can read our Bibles at home. We don't have to come. But you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And who sends faithful ministers to preach the gospel but God himself? And if we are sent of God, then there is a purpose for his sending. And we dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ if we do not heed those things which he has ordained for the profit of mankind. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that publish good tidings. In other words, that bring forth the word of the living God. People want to think that we live in a modern age. And I suppose in some senses we do. Many things today which our forebears would never have dreamed would have come into existence. But you know, the word of God doesn't change. And that means the worship of God doesn't change. Also, the people of God must not change. We are to show our allegiance to the Holy Bible, to what God has spoken in his word. We are to daily search the scriptures to see if these things be so. We are to be like the Bereans when the minister of God brings a message to us, that we are to examine it in the light of scripture. Are these things so? And if these men could question, as it were, the word that an apostle brings forth, how much more we need to examine what today's preacher brings forth. But I say, the word of God has not changed. The message of salvation has not changed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, has not changed. For we read in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Unchangeably the same. What a wonderful foundation for our most holy faith, to build upon Christ, the chief cornerstone. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. While Lydia attends to the things spoken by Paul, and now she desires to honour these faithful servants, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Oh, how faith shines forth. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We read of Moses coming down from the mountain after being 40 days and 40 nights in the Mount of God. And his face shone so brightly that he was compelled to put a veil upon his face because they could not look upon the reflected glory of God. Is there not to be something in our countenance that belies the fact that we are lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we are followers of his example? We have in the Gospels the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he walked upon the face of this earth. And it is a scene of subjection. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of him that sent him. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. And this is where we must carry the law of God, in our hearts. And if the law of God is in our hearts, there will be no difficulty in walking it out. It will be our daily delight and joy in serving the Lord Christ. And how are we to serve the Lord Christ? We are to serve his people. Do good unto all men, yes, but especially to those who are the Lord's people, to the household of God. We are to do good. I believe Lydia's heart was full of the love of Christ, that she desired to have these people, these apostles, these servants of God, to dwell with her, that she might hear more of what they had to tell of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ among his people. And she constrained us. She constrained us. Oh, how it shows her love, how it shows her desire, how it shows her interest. There was one thing settled upon her heart and upon her mind, that she must do good. And there was the opportunity, if we might put it that way, for her to be able to show her love to the Lord Jesus Christ and her love to his disciples by constraining them. By constraining them to come and abide in her house, there to provide for them, there to commune with them, there to share the gospel with them, and there to learn more of this precious Saviour. You know, so often, as we begin in the Christian pathway, it may rightly be described of us that we are babes in Christ. You know, some people think that when they come to baptism, they've accomplished. They know things now which they didn't know before. Well, of course, in measure that's true. But I do believe that if the Lord opens our hearts, one thing he gives us is a teachable spirit. How often did Martha and Mary entertain the Lord Jesus Christ? But there we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. She wanted to hear every word that this blessed Saviour had to say to her. She couldn't have, as it were, sufficient of him. She ever wanted more. And if we are full of Christ, we will want more. We want a portion. As we come to the house of God week by week, we want to be blessed. And we want to be made a blessing unto others. And we can say, which perhaps we couldn't say before, here in the church, here among the people of God, here my best friends, my kindred dwell, here Christ, my Saviour, reigns. What is the house of God to us? None other than the gate of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made that promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And oh, to come into the house of God as the minister ascends up into the pulpit, sir, we would see Jesus. And it is our desire to see a precious Saviour exalted amongst the people, that there might be those also who shall look and live. Because one glimpse of the Saviour will be sufficient to overwhelm our souls with love toward him and a desire that we may know him and love him more. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Our two dear sisters now, in following the Lord Jesus Christ, are to be faithful to the command that is given unto them to follow him. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.